Good morning, everyone. Well, the president gave us 18 minutes of his voice in an Oval Office speech on the crisis in the Gulf last night, and there are voices from all over the nation reacting. It's one thing if you were sitting in your comfy living room, say, in the Northeast last night, but what if you were a New Orleans school teacher?
I mean, maybe if I didn't live here, I would listen to that and I would go, wow, I'm motivated. I'm encouraged. But I live here. And I know fishermen, and I know people who work out on the oil rigs, and I know some of the politicians who are in the area, and they're saying that their needs are not getting met.
Meanwhile, what do BP executives think? They were on Capitol Hill yesterday. Here's Lamar McKay, who's a BP executive.
We've got a strong company. We intend to stand behind those. I cannot commit today one way or the other on whether a fund would serve that in furtherance.
BP's going to pay, but whom? And the president spoke last night assuring residents of the Gulf and Americans that the crisis will eventually pass. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, joins us. Good morning, Todd.
Hey, good morning, John.
So what do you think of the reaction in Washington compared to a New Orleans school teacher there?
Right. There's certainly a lot more urgency down in New Orleans. And I think a lot of lawmakers are trying to capture the urgency and capture the anger. You know, these guys read polls and they know which way the wind blows. And if the public is uncertain and unhappy, they try to be just the same way. What you heard from Lamar McKay, president of BP America, saying, I can't agree to an escrow account, was a little bit shocking to some people in the room, because BP has been making an effort to be, at least in terms of public relations, you know, kind of cooperative. However, I have a feeling that is an announcement you're going to be seeing later on today when BP executives, including Tony Hayward and people higher up in the British part of BP, go in to meet with the president in the White House. Those talks are ongoing about the structure of a set-aside account for claims, how much, and what the rules are. They may have something on that by the end of the day.
You kind of wonder why somebody didn't give McKay the message, hey, just go in there and say we're going to pay whatever it is, whatever check, we're going to write it. But let's talk about the anger meter. Representative Cliff Stearns was pretty angry when he was questioning some executives yesterday. Listen to this and give me a sense of whether this characterizes how lawmakers were feeling yesterday.
When we've had 11 people killed, we've had a huge environmental damage, and you're still sitting here as a CEO of BP, frankly, I would call for your resignation. I'm calling for it for today. I'm not asking for an apology. I'm asking you to resign.
So, Todd?
Well, The attitude towards Lamar McKay kind of ratcheted up as the hearing went on. One lawmaker at the beginning put him on the spot and said, will you apologize right now? Will you apologize to the United States for letting the spill happen? Then it got ratcheted up to Cliff Stearns, who said, forget an apology, you should resign, until it got to Joseph Gao of New Orleans, who said, you know, a lot of people would like to see you handed a sword so you could do something in the Japanese tradition.
Right.
He was talking about ritual suicide.
Cato also threw himself on his sword.
Yeah.
So it's a global perspective there.
Right.
On ritual suicide.
Right.
Todd, it wasn't just BP executives who were up on Capitol Hill. Listen to the CEO of ExxonMobil.
It appears clear to me that a number of design standards that I would consider to be the industry norm were not followed.
So let me go through this. You think that they made mistakes? The answer you would give would be yes.
We would not have drilled the well the way they did.
There you hear the rest of the industry throwing BP to the dogs there. Was that sort of consistent?
Each of the other four executives of Big Oil, ExxonMobil, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Shell, all said, yeah, we would have never drilled this kind of well this way, knowing all the geological features, we wouldn't have done it this way. Really strongly implying this drill never would have happened if we had been drilling. This spill, never would have happened if we had been drilling.
Right.
So tossed him right under the bus.
So one of the leaders on Capitol Hill in this whole affair has been Ed Markey of Massachusetts. And my favorite moment yesterday came in Markey's questioning. Can you set this up for us, and then let's roll the tape?
Sure. Yeah. One of the big frustrations on the Hill that was expressed were the safety plans that had been submitted by the big five oil companies to drill in the Gulf under the law. They submit these to MMS. Now, what gets Markey so steamed about these is that they're all not quite identical, but highly, highly similar, down to the cover art, which in all five cases is exactly the same except for the color. And Markey told these guys that they basically took a cut-and-paste Xerox machine approach to safety. The safety plans are so highly similar that they have pages and pages and pages that are identical.
All right.
Even
so
some of
complex,
the errors.
Right, they're complex. And here's an error that Markey points out.
Mr. Watson, your plan has them on page 11-6. How do you respond to having walruses in your plan?
Respond in a similar fashion. The plans are put together in response to guidelines from the Minerals Management Service.
Do you agree that it's an embarrassment to have walruses in a response plan for the Gulf of Mexico?
Certainly for the Gulf of Mexico, that's not appropriate.
They found walruses in the Gulf of Mexico. That would be a big news story. Todd Zwillich, thanks so much.